Time Radio, your home for NASCAR. We're Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owasi Chase Air Systems. 101.3 The Buzz. Now, live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio. It's Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb.
And Jason Hildebrand.
Hello and welcome to the fastest hour in radio. Whether you're listening to us on 101.3 The Buzz or the TuneIn app, thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your day. Here's what's coming up on today's show. We'll be breaking down this past week's race at New Hampshire, where Denny Hamlin won as some of the day's leaders struggled late. Later in the show, we will discuss the upcoming race at Indy and tonight's big dirt race at Eldora. We'll have Alex Hayden live from Eldora calling in at 5:30, and as always, we'll share with you our power rankings and picks to win. We've got all that and much, much more on today's show, Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owasi Chase Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle. To my radio left, great to see back in the studio after I've been gone, Jason Hildebrand.
Hey, who's not been around?
And that voice you hear surely is the ugly mug across the table of Mr. Scott Webb.
I'll actually get stuff to play when I want it to. We'll actually do a radio show today.
You guys did a magnificent job. Let me stress that again.
When it comes to talking NASCAR on the radio,
you guys had
that show was pretty up there.
I mean, it was, I listened to it about three or four times.
Listen to that every week. We got racingtalkradio.com coming at you pretty soon, so good stuff.
I mean, it was that good. I mean, you know.
Well, I don't know if it was.
There's somebody down in Chattanooga you can ask.
Now, this show's already really headed in a direction that's not going to quite achieve the accolades that last week's show hit.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, it's happened. You know, that's all right.
Hey, we get paid a lot of money to talk about NASCAR, so let's do that. So, New Hampshire this past week. Yeah, if you had to think about New Hampshire, I think about the fact of one lane usually. The biggest, I guess, conversation everybody was having is this traction control substance they put down. Jason's shaking his head. I was probably in the same boat. I didn't see much of a difference there.
I didn't. I mean, I really didn't. I mean, it was, you know, a decent race. I don't want to say anything spectacular. You look at, and it was actually kind of funny when you're watching the Xfinity Series race on Saturday. And I mean, it's a runaway, you know, and I'm sitting here thinking, are we going to be in store for the same thing on Sunday as we are today? We weren't, but it wasn't that great of a race either on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, it was a decent race as far as, I always try to look at a decent race as, do the drivers make a difference in this race? And I think, Scott, there was some guys
there
really
was one guy that can't follow the speed limit right that made a big difference in that race.
That is true. But they were sawing a lot of wheels out on Sunday. I mean, there were some people having to work to get it done.
Yeah, it was, you know, I thought that the race for a New Hampshire race, it had some moments, you know, I guess the big story, like you mentioned, was the VHT or the RJ2 or whatever they're calling it, or the ABC P3O. Or the CB3 or whatever that is. That they were putting down. Obviously, it made a difference. You could see because of the way the lines the drivers were driving through the corners were right where that stuff, that surface was on the track, and really the track didn't change until it began to wore off, and then we saw a different cast of characters kind of migrate towards the front. I really thought once that compound went away, you know, Kevin Harvick started to run a little better. Denny Hamlin was much more of a factor because before that, being out in clean air, like we talked about last week, was going to be a big factor. Mm-hmm. And it was really the Martin Truex, Kyle Busch show for most of the day.
And that's where I was going to go next is the 1878 and really the 42. Let's talk about the 42 for a second. In Kentucky, he had to go through the field twice and pass all those cars and wasn't able to get it done this past week at New Hampshire. Failed the post-qualifying inspection, had to start from the back again. It's kind of fun watching the guy go through the field, but I have to think that if he started up front, they might be two wins for him in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, maybe. I think that car, he's been terrific at moving through traffic. But last week, both weeks, we saw in that first run him go from the front all the way into the top three. But then he never really ran there the rest of the day. It was third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, kind of in that area. I think he kind of got to a point, and that's about how good that car was. Now they ended up with another second place finish, I believe, in the race. So a good result. But I wouldn't say he was one of the top three or four cars there. But it was remarkable to see what him and Jimmy Johnson both were able to do after having moments of Larson and both, with the qualifying issue, and then Johnson jumps the start at the very beginning of the race, and he gets sent to the back.
And a lot of drivers will say that's not the first time he's done that.
No, it may not have been. Well, you got to remember too. You got to remember that the restart rules are different for the rest of the race as opposed to the start of the race. At the start of the race, you cannot beat the leader back to the line, and Johnson clearly did that. It wasn't even close. On regular restarts the rest of the day, once they hit that session, once they hit that restart section of the track, if you can beat the leader back to the line. If he doesn't go by the time he gets into the line, you can beat him back. So what Johnson did would be legal at every lap except for the first
lap.
So that's where he got in trouble.
The next guy, the 78, three race wins. Now, listen, 14 stage wins. There's nobody else that's in double digits or even close to double digits in stage wins. He gets another one, a couple of them, on Sunday. Still can't get it done. It seems like, let's just say this. How many wins could this guy have had if luck would have went his way this year?
I mean, he's gotten his fair share. He's got a good enough lead out there. You know, you don't see a team out there self-destruction. It's just hard to put that whole race together week in and week out. But when he's good, he's really, really good, and the point standings reflect that.
And coming off last week where they were in victory lane and they were talking about how they were trying to prove that it wasn't just the mile and a half, and dadgummit, he almost did it. I mean, he looked like a car that was not going to be beat.
He looked real good.
Right. I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever that he is the car to beat right now. I think the two cars, him and Larson, have kind of separated themselves. Everybody else is kind of playing second fiddle. Now, again, it's July. There's a long way to go till we reach Homestead, but he is clearly making it known that he's the best. He's the man to beat on the track, and it shows week in and week out. That car, they come off the truck fast, they qualify well, and they run well during the race. There's no, well, we got to find some speed. No, we got to make some adjustments. We had a poor qualifying effort. It's just bam, bam, bam. Every single week, we're fast off the truck. We have a good qualifying run. We put ourselves into position week in and week out, and that's what they're doing. They're winning stages. They're accumulating points. They're giving themselves an opportunity. Remember, the person that finishes first at the end of the regular season gets 15 more additional playoff points. So you're talking about a monster amount of points he's going to be able to carry with him all the way to Homestead.
You almost look at it like this. If he stays, if it were to end today, he would have the max bonus points over anybody else in in the lineup. So the guy that's third in points and has the second most stage wins, which is five, is Kyle Busch. He's third in points. This is kind of my point when I'm talking about my guy Kyle Busch. He's third in points now. He has no wins. What kind of luck has this guy had, or luck maybe brought on himself? And he's still third. If he goes on a hot streak, which we've been talking about week over week, it's going to happen at some point in time. He could be and compete with Martin Truex Jr., maybe even beat Martin Truex Jr. with the experience he's got.
Yeah, if he gets on that hot streak. You know, if you had told me the first of the year the first driver to win for Joe Gibbs Racing would be Denny Hamlin, I'd have just laughed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's absolutely no way. And especially, you know, if I even look 4 or 5 weeks ago, there's no way I would have thought that. I thought Kyle was well on his way to turning things around. There's always that opportunity for those guys to get it turned around. You know, like I said, what we talked about last week and the week before, you know, he had the suspensions with the crew chiefs and didn't have a crew chief really, even after his interim was gone. There's a chance, but right now I look at Martin Truex Jr. and Kyle Busch. They're two different leagues. But not only Kyle Busch, I mean, basically besides Kyle Larson, is in another league besides those two cars.
You've got one and then, or 1A and 2Z.
1A and 1B.
I don't even know if it's 1B.
I think you got a 1A and 1A.
Right. That could be it. So, all right, pit road issues. Let's discuss that. That's been happening a lot. I heard some commentary on this, and we had some issues with air guns. That's what they're called, right?
Yeah.
Air horns.
Air horn.
Air horns.
Air horns.
Oh, yeah, a college football game.
Air guns. Let me read here. Yes, the air guns that take off the lug nuts, the lug guns, whatever. Anyway.
Some jack issues,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, some jack issues as well. One of the things that I heard and they were talking about is a lot of these teams now are producing and manufacturing their own equipment and not buying them as much from the manufacturer. And so that's something I don't know if that's the reason they're having the problem. I've never seen a jack do what it did on Sunday, and I can't remember if I think it was with Larson's car, where it just kind of slowly went down, and then he had to jack it back up.
Keselowski had, I think it was Keselowski that had the issue.
Well, yeah, Keselowski. Okay, so yeah. It kind of went down. I've never seen that before. It's a product of trying to get everything faster. If you remember a couple of years ago in Atlanta, everybody was complaining about Joe Gibbs Racing and how fast Denny Hamlin was getting out on the pit stops because they were trying a new air gun. Everybody keeps trying to push that envelope. Eventually, it's going to get you.
Well, those guys are trying to max speed in any way they can. I mean, if they can build their own equipment and it does just a little bit better or makes it the pit stops. I mean, guys, really, the times on the pit stops have dropped remarkably over the course of the last several years.
It's
now you're talking 12, 11 second pit stops.
Yeah, used to be 14, 15
seconds.
Really,
so the amount of time so any advantage they can get, they're looking to try to take advantage. And sometimes it's building their own. They're not just going out to Sears and we're gonna buy. Hey, I'm gonna go to Walmart and buy me a jack. And go to the weekend and do some NASCARing. It doesn't work that way. So that was my best NASCAR voice there.
Hey, we're gonna go down to Sears
or Walmart.
Yeah, or Walmart. Yeah, because I don't even know if you can find a Sears anymore.
Go NASCARing.
We need to get that on a T-shirt. Travis Godfrey. We need that on a T-shirt.
We're gonna load up the car and go to the track, boys.
Racing Talk Radio. Going NASCARing. But you know, any advantage they can get, they're building their own equipment. So things like the jack and some of that other stuff, they're having specifically built to work in a race car environment, and we're seeing, you know, we are seeing some issues. We've had a couple jack failures a couple weeks. We're having some issues with the air gun. Some of that is it's become such a succinct and exact science that any kind of little mistake is costing you time in the pits. So it's valuable time, and these guys are good. They're going to go out there and try to make these 12, 11 second pit stops, because that's the difference between winning and losing right now, especially as competitive as the entire field is and as bunch up as it is.
We got to go to break, but I read a stat this week or whatever that said in the last 8 races there have been 8 different drivers win for 8 different teams. I want to talk about that when we come back. Also, we'll talk about Denny Hamlin getting the first win for JGR. And then don't forget Alex Hayden coming up at 5:30 live from Eldora. We'll be back in just a second.
We'll be back faster than a hot lap at Daytona. Racing Talk Radio. Presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back and talking more NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio. Presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
Live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios, it's Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb, spinning some good tunes today.
Well, I'm just trying to make sure I'm pushing all the right buttons and get everything loaded up correctly.
Well, I mean,
I do know what I'm doing. Sometimes I know it doesn't seem like it.
And this new highfalutin job you have,
yeah,
you know,
job's got me too busy to work on NASCAR, which is disturbing.
Well, that shows you
I hope nobody important is listening. Dr. Cash, I apologize if you listen or listening.
Shows you how not
I really
busy
do
he
love
was.
My new job.
That was how
it's
not
pretty cool.
Let me finish the not busy part. Not busy he was when he was teaching, right?
No, I was very busy. I wasn't busy this time. I wasn't busy in July.
Yeah, he was still playing golf now.
I'd be coming off the golf course right now. But I'm excited. Got a new teacher hired up here, Nate. McKay is going to be taking my spot at Walker Valley High School, so spending some time with him this afternoon, trying to get him accustomed to.
That's a good word.
Yeah, whatever I was trying to say there. I don't know what words. English, the English
acclimated.
Acclimated is what I was looking for. Thanks, Jason.
Are you welcome?
Leave it to the
NASCARing. Yeah, that's the best I could do today.
We do have a 4th seat over there.
So it was just spending a little afternoon time with him today, trying to get him ready to go here in a couple weeks. We get ready to kick off school in a few days.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about that because you've been working ever.
No, I've been working for five weeks now. It's been my vacation's been way over.
So it's good. All right, so
hey, love my job. Just in case I catch board members, if you're listening,
I do know Teddy Bryson listens to us.
I got a disclaimer here. I do love my job.
I love Mr. Bryson.
I love my job. I love my job.
All right, read a stat over the weekend. 8 races, 8 different drivers, 8 different teams. That's pretty cool to me since, you know, we talk about all the time you have some teams or whatever that dominate throughout the year. Pretty good stat. I mean, if you think about it, 8 different drivers, 8 different races. That's what we wanted, right?
Yeah, to be honest with you, you don't like to see somebody, you know, we say you don't want to see somebody dominate. There has been a dominant 2 cars out there, but they just haven't pulled away all the victories.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is good, though, that you can see somebody like a Denny Hamlin, somebody like a Harvick can go out there at Sonoma and get those victories, though, with beating out like a Martin Truex or Kyle Larson.
Yeah, and speaking of Denny Hamlin, Scott,
by the way, said, it could have been one of the best burnouts I've seen all year long.
That was exactly.
That was spot on. Lighten up some tires in a great way.
I'm sure there were some junior fans that were saying he was doing that because he was illegal. And
well, maybe. Whatever. That was a great burnout. Whether he was legal or not afterwards, I don't have any idea.
If any of the other, 17 cars that yeah. in front of Junior would have done it, I mean, I guess they'd have been illegal too.
Yeah, and you know, and you feel, if this was a normal year, there's no way that they stay out. Junior stays out at that particular point in time in the race. They come around,
and he got roasted.
And they finish, they finish somewhere between probably, 10th and 8th, which would be, a great, mm-hmm. a good solid finish for that track for him. But when you're up against the wall like that, with that particular team is, sometimes you just got to roll the dice and hope, the tires aren't going to stick, but you got to hope something plays out so that you can keep that car out front. And you got to take gambles. You're going to see that from all sorts of teams. Joey Logano, more behind the ball, 8 mm-hmm. ball, than he was last week. They lose points this week to the field. And, the Hamlin winning didn't really affect, because he was already above that group. So he was one of the top point people. I think Kyle Busch is the only one that didn't have as many points as him. But it affects, it affects Kenseth and Bowyer and those type of guys. So it's Kenseth did kind of lengthen his lead on where Logano is, and that's a group that is really struggling. They've got to get some mojo change quickly.
You know, that was one of the guys that I was going to bring up that I thought did a really good job up there at New Hampshire this weekend was Matt Kenseth. I thought he ran well up there. You know, besides Denny Hamlin, I was probably more impressed with Kenseth's run early.
I wanted to ask you guys this. Did you guys see the interview they did pre-race with Joe Gibbs? And Joe was kind of emotional talking about what a great person Matt was, and there was reasons why they had to did that, why they made the move to Eric Jones and a lot of things. I think the Carl Edwards, just from kind of reading between the lines, it looks like the Carl Edwards deal kind of played a major role in what they were doing and what they were going to do moving forward. And it kind of sped up a timeline that they weren't exactly hoping they had to do, and that's one reason why Kenseth is going to lose his job.
Be interested in talking to Alex about that to find out. It was a weird situation. I know you guys talked about it, then I called in and talked about it last week with the Matt.
I appreciate
Kenseth
you
deal.
Calling in, buddy.
I did enjoy watching some of the NASCAR pre-race, and he said, even Kenny Wallace didn't show up for the interview with him. He's like, man, even you're kicking me out.
That is funny. And that he was stuck like in the airport or something like that because of rain.
Yeah, but he was like, Kenny, you're kicking me out. You're not even associating with me anymore.
That is funny. Well, Denny Hamlin adds his name to the list of drivers. That's the first win in almost a year for JGR, and Denny's first win of the year. It seemed like he was going to be a fourth place car with all the faster cars, but he was able to get up there and get it done. I think if Larson didn't have to pass a couple of people to get to him, he might have done that. But he didn't. So let's hear from Denny after he performed that sweet burnout.
It just seems like the flat track, short track program has been pretty good for us this year. We ran really well at Richmond. We ran really well at Phoenix, and obviously ran pretty well here today. So we executed nicely, made no mistakes, and capitalized when other guys.
When other guys made, kind of mistakes with Kyle Busch speeding.
Twice.
Which I would have loved to have heard the in-car audio on that
too
one.
Well, listen, entering. Too fast entering, too like exiting on the other one. So, and he was in the same section, so you never know if that. But they give you 5 miles an hour. So, that's driver error. You can't make that mistake at that point in time in the race. You know, one mistake is one issue. You may be able to overcome that. You can't make the same mistake twice and expect to win a race.
Absolutely. Since we have Alex Hayden calling in at 5:30, we're going to go ahead and do the Monster Energy Series point standings. Brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Cry Like Realtors. She texted me a few minutes ago and said that she is looking for a buyer that's ready to buy a home. She's got 6 listings, and if those don't suit their needs, then she will work to find one for them. Make sure you give her a call, 473-9545, or call her sales, 650-9429. As good as Scott's been on the board today, I know when I say, Scott, take it away, it's going to be perfect.
Well, yeah, maybe it may be perfect, but it's now time for NASCAR Energy NASCAR Cup point standings after New Hampshire, the Overton's 301. Martin Truex Jr., courtesy of Kyle Larson's penalty last week, maintains his lead, 38 points over Kyle Larson. Kyle Busch in second, Kevin Harvick our third, Kevin Harvick fourth. Denny Hamlin moves all the way up to 5th points in the standing and gets his first win and some big stage playoff points there as well. Chase Elliott 6th, Jamie McMurray 7th, Brad Keselowski 8th. Boy, what's happened to Penske over the course of the last couple weeks? That's an organization that's struggling just a little bit. Jimmy Johnson 9th, Clint Bowyer 10th, Matt Kenseth 11th. Blaney in 12th, Joey Logano lose more points to the field as he falls further behind. Kurt Busch, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Ryan Newman is in 16th, and that is your Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series standings.
Brought to you by Stephanie Painter, Cry Like Realtors. Again, she is looking for buyers. 6 listings. If those don't meet your needs, she'll find you one. 650-9429 or 473-9540.
I did read that almost like I knew what I was doing there.
You did. That was
I'm pretty proud of myself.
Very, very good.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the support.
As you pat yourself on the back.
Well, I said, I didn't sound like an idiot, which that tends to happen, especially in this new job of mine. So I sound like a moron sometimes. But that's, you know.
And Dr. Cash, you made a great hire.
Thanks. We'll keep telling her that. Hopefully she'll believe it for long.
One day. All right. So we switch gears a little bit tonight, dudes. We go a little dirt tracking with the trucks.
It could be my favorite race of the year. It is. It's the excitement of seeing something, A, something different, and B, the amount of action, the different lanes, the 3 and 4 wide, people slipping and sliding. It's just, it's really turned into one of the premier events in the season on the schedule. I wish, especially during football season, we saw more midweek races. Mm-hmm. Attendance is going to be what it is. It's hard to compete against football. I love the midweek race. There'll be 30,000 people, 30,000 people there tonight. It'll be jam-packed. It'll be great viewing on TV. You'll see tons of action, and it should be a lot of fun.
Well, let's face it. This is something that we want to see because it's out of the norm. You actually have passing out there. You have people out there rubbing on the track. You know, it's not like your tires are just stuck to the ground, especially, you know, I mean, you're on dirt here. I mean, it's what we all want to see week in and week out on Sundays.
And now we're seeing it on Wednesday. That's
now
the
you're
cool
seeing it on Wednesday. Say. Then we get the Brickyard this weekend. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, there's a that was a yawner.
That's a definite 10 on the snooze factor.
Yeah, so. That one will be – we may be just monitoring the race on on Sunday.
That would be good. All right, let's now, go ahead.
Now, I do want to remind everybody, this is the last year for the Brickyard. Next year they're going to be running the road course at Indy, so it's going to, you know, it's your last chance to watch cars going around in an oval, follow the leader.
And next year it will be the cutoff race for the playoffs.
It will be the cutoff race for the playoffs next
year.
Adds
a little more intensity to that race. So, all right, yeah. We need to get a break. When we come back, hopefully, he said the cell service wasn't that great up there.
And yeah, they got the qualifyings right now. So.
Yeah, so it may be loud when he comes on the phone, but we'll hopefully have Alex Hayden. If not, we'll carry on. We'll be back right after the break.
Patrick changes sponsors again. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hawassi Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Bus. We're back with more NASCAR talk. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hawassi Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Bus.
Hello and welcome to the fastest hour in radio. Whether you're listening to us on 101.3 The Buzz or the TuneIn app, thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your day. I'm Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb.
Hi, Jamie. Thanks for saying hello there.
Yes. I did say.
Hey, listen, we got the man on the phone. I'm sure if I could get a request in, I can get a little Def Leppard on Periscope one night or something.
Did he ever play your request from last time? That's my thing.
I just need. Listen, Alex knows this. We've talked about this in the past. I just need a little heads up on Twitter when we're about to jam out the Periscope. That's all I need. I need like a, you know, like they do, and I need a 2-minute warning. 2 minutes. I need a countdown clock or something.
Drivers to your cars.
Yeah, that's what I need. It. Alex, that's what we need. Drivers to your cars, just to give me a little warning. It's time to get on Periscope for some jam.
Rain delays over. Jet dryers are off the track, boys.
I like it. I do. And by the way, the Photograph, that's a perfect song. I love it. With the 1983, the Pyromania album. How can you go wrong with Def Leppard?
I mean, a music historian, too. We keep learning more and more. I mean, in 1983, I was walking around 5 years old wondering why I just had a brother enter the world. So, you know.
Hey, I was debating between Motley Crue and Def Leppard at that time.
Yeah,
guys.
That's true. Yeah. So, Alex, you were in a spot right now that I know these three guys in here wish that we were. You're up at Eldora for tonight's truck race on dirt. I know this has probably got to be one of your favorite trips of the year.
It really is. I absolutely love coming here to Eldora. They put on such a great show here at Tony Stewart's dirt track. It's built the world's greatest dirt track, and I don't think you're going to find anybody that'll give them any kind of argument whatsoever. They're starting qualifying. They're about five trucks into it right now. Single truck qualifying, that sets their starting spot for which of the five heat races, which are the qualifying races that are going to be run a little bit later on tonight. So that's what's going on with this single truck qualifying right now here on the racetrack. But yeah, it's great. It really is. And it's because it's something different. You know, it's just something different. And there's been a lot of people talking about, hey, let's get the cup cars here. Let's get them on dirt here at Eldora. I say no, because this is something totally unique to the truck series. It gives them their identity. This is a marquee event for the truck series, this particular night on the calendar. So I think it's spectacular, and I think anybody who's a race fan, even if you've never been to a dirt track, I think it's worth the journey to get up here.
Well, and Alex, when they first announced it, there was a little bit of novelty to it, but it has really become one of the premier events in the whole season across all the series, because it is so different, and it does look different than what we're used to seeing. But ultimately, the great racing is what makes it a great event.
I agree 100%, because without great racing, it's just an event. And I hate to say this because I'm from Indiana originally, and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is everything to me. But how great of an event was the Brickyard 400 the first 8, 10, 12 years of stock cars running at the famed Indianapolis Motor Speedway? Well, after a while, the novelty kind of wore off of being something different. Then it comes down to you got to have good competition on the racetrack to keep people interested, and I think we're seeing what's going on there now. So, obviously, the racing at Indy, as far as NASCAR is concerned, hasn't been the most compelling over the last few years. So, I think that's a direct reflection in the lack of attendance for the Brickyard 400.
Hey, Alex, this is Jason. Hey, looking over the entry list, you only see one regular Monster Energy Cup Series driver, that's Ty Dillon, in the field tonight versus what we've seen in the past. Is there any particular reason why why we don't see any more out there?
Well, there's two things. First of all, Kyle Larson wanted to run this race. He's won this race, defending champion of this race, as a matter of fact. He's a dirt ace. He wanted to run this race. I'm not going to say which specific team it was, but he did approach a top team in the truck series and said, look, I want to come run this race. They said, yep, let's do it. Here's the caveat and why he's not racing it is because we had two practice sessions here last night for the truck series, and Kyle Larson couldn't make it to the practice sessions because he was testing at Darlington yesterday. So the team said, you know what, if you can't make it to practice, we don't need you. And Kyle was like, come on, guys, what are you talking about? I mean, I know this racetrack. I'm a dirt guy. You know, I'll be able to figure out it and qualify and the qualifying races that I got to run to get into the main, and they got 150 laps to get to the front. And the team said no. So that's a head scratcher. It really is. But outside of that, I think mostly is because a lot of the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup drivers have so much on their schedules already, specifically leading up into the Brickyard 400, because even though as far as the fans go, the numbers have dropped attendance-wise, as we talked about, this is still an extremely important race weekend for NASCAR at Indianapolis, for the sponsors to run at the historic Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and for the manufacturers. And there's all kinds of events going on leading up to this weekend's race that there's an awful lot that a driver would have to clear his schedule for to be here.
I can tell you this. I'm in commercial banking, and I would advise my business, if it was a truck that was going to race, that you make whatever concessions you have to make for Kyle Larson to bring him up there, knowing that the sponsor that I have is going to be at the front the rest of the race. So really not sure about that. About that call.
I'm with you, and so is everybody else down here. We're just kind of scratching our heads. But, hey, you know, they're the ones that own the race team, and they're the ones that said no. You know, that's something that they're certainly going to have to deal with and have to live with. But, yeah, I'm with you. If I had a chance to put Kyle Larson in any vehicle on dirt, let alone pavement, I'm going to put him in it.
Yeah, so I want to get to one question, and I think Scott may have something on the dirt track side again, but did it seem weird to you with Matt Kenseth the way that all went down, as far as, you know, there wasn't like this big buildup of an announcement? It's almost like it just happened. And maybe that's Matt's personality and Joe's personality, but it just seemed weird the way that whole announcement of Matt Kenseth not coming back next year was done.
You know, it was, but I think it's also Matt Kenseth's personality. He's just has got a dry sense of humor, and he just kind of goes about business his way. You know, if somebody asks him about something, he's going to talk about it. If he can. If he's not able to by contract, then he won't, certainly. But he had nothing to lose. He knew he wasn't going to be back, and some reporter asked him about it, and he just said, no, I'm not going to make it. I think that kind of caught Joe Gibbs Racing with their pants down a little bit, because you realize very quickly after Kenseth made that announcement and let the cat out of the bag that Joe Gibbs Racing went ahead and said, yes, Eric Jones will be coming into the 20 car next year. So I think Joe Gibbs Racing as a whole did not want to make that announcement until much later in the season. But since Matt let it out of the bag, why not? So, you know, it was a little awkward given the fact that everything seems to be so press conference oriented now. But, hey, you know, that's Matt Kenseth.
Absolutely. It was just kind of weird. I guess the thing that kind of got me up front is that, you know, nobody had thought about this Eric Jones thing in the 77, and then it just all kind of hit all at once. So it was definitely a weird situation. Jason?
Yeah, hey, Alex. You know, Christopher Bell, looking at last week, won Kentucky, runner-up finish last year at Eldora. Got to be looking at one of the favorites out there tonight. What? Who you got out there? What's the consensus as far as favorites on the track?
Christopher Bell.
Okay,
there
you go.
And I'm not saying he's going to run away with it by any means, because I don't think that's going to be the case. But Christopher Bell, I mean, he raced here in a winged sprint car with the World of Outlaws this past weekend. That's been only, 4 days ago, and finished second in the main event. It was a 40-lap race, went caution-free. He started 20th and finished second. And then he won his prelim race last past Friday night here in a sprint car at Eldora. So he's got more laps around this track than anybody. He's got more laps around this track than he does any other racetrack in his career. So he certainly knows it. He knows how the clay responds out there once it starts to get worn down and get packed in, where the cushion is. The biggest difference, though, is the truck. It weighs so much more than a sprint car does. You have to be careful with that, and you got to be cognizant of that. And remember that you're driving a big old burly race truck as opposed to a lightweight sprint car. So obviously, given his record, he's won here and finished second here. I think he can make that distinction rather well. But yeah, Christopher Bell is the favorite to win this thing tonight. Doesn't mean give him the trophy by any stretch of the imagination, because there's a lot of pretty talented drivers in here.
So where are you calling? Where are you at tonight?
I'm anchoring tonight's broadcast.
You're anchoring the coverage. Oh, that means I turn the radio. That means I turn the TV off tonight. And I listen to my man Alex in the booth.
Without
tonight.
A doubt.
How exciting is, you know, I'm a former, you know, media teacher in a high school. How exciting is it to be on that side of the sport? It's different than what you do on a normal week-to-week basis.
It is, and I'm very fortunate with MRN. They've been very good for the for the last couple of years, they'll kind of slide me around. I'm Mr. Utility Player. I can be in the booth to anchor. I can be in the turn if they need me to be. I can be on pit road, obviously, wherever they need me to be. And they have the confidence in me to be able to perform no matter what position they stick me at. So a lot of the support races or these standalone type of events, they kind of toss me the bone and give me something different to do as opposed to being on pit road. Don't get me wrong, pit road is spectacular. I have so many great relationships with the competitors and all the crew members in the garage area, and that's what it takes on pit road. But to be able to either call a turn or, in this case tonight, to anchor the broadcast, it's a lot of fun, and it's just something different. It's a different discipline, and it requires a little bit of a different approach as far as racing goes and a little different line of thinking when it's time to actually turn the microphones on. But hey, you know what? As long as they're inviting me back and giving me a shirt that says MRN, I'm okay.
Yeah, if you were a baseball player, we'd call you a five-tool player. I mean, you just do it all. You got all the characteristics.
I think he learned it all from his TV career back in the day.
You know. Was that the One Tree Hill?
One Tree Hill kind of deal that he did.
You got to be versatile, right?
Yeah, man. That's what I'm saying. If it's not during the week on Periscope rocking it out to the calling a race on Wednesday night from the heartland, this is your guy.
My wife used to watch that a lot, and I need to go back and look at those episodes to see if I can see Mr. Alex Hayden back there.
Seasons 2 and 3, mostly season 2, but yeah, seasons 2 and 3.
He's got it down. He's telling everybody that.
Right. You're going to give me a signed Alex Hayden One Tree Hill shirt.
After you buy the series from Walmart, you can get him to sign the series.
Get him signed the box, baby. There we go.
So that's good. Alex, we'll let you get back to it. I know you got a big night. Thank you so much for coming on. It means a lot to us that you can come on. And from a great partner in MRN who, you know, we hear every Saturday and Sunday up here in Cleveland and in Bradley County and Chattanooga area. We just can't tell you how much we appreciate it.
No, I really appreciate it, guys. I really do. It means an awful lot to be able to come and spend some time with you guys on the air and talk racing. It's something, obviously, that's part of my life is racing. But a quick shameless plug, though, before I get off. I know you guys are up against time clock.
September 23rd, right?
It's been announced about 2 hours ago. For anybody who's a local late model racer in your area, runs a late model stock cars, the big late model race, the Valley Star Credit Union 300 for the late model cars at Martinsville Speedway coming up in September. MRN will broadcast that race live. So we're going to do late model racing live on MRN from Martinsville in September. So if there's any late model racers that have thought about going to race that, here's your chance to go do it and be broadcast around the world.
Awesome. That's really cool.
And
by the way, it's the first ever race under the lights at historic Martinsville Speedway, too.
Actually, Jason right now is on Craigslist looking for a late model stock car. We might be up there.
We might have our own team.
Yeah. Hey, remember what we were talking about earlier? We got the Jackson. We got some air guns.
Yeah, let's get her done. We're going NASCARing.
We can get it done. Like it. Alex, have a great call tonight. We appreciate it. We'll make sure everybody you turn off your sound on your TV and turn on MRN and listen to Alex Hayden. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks.
That was Alex Hayden with MRN.
What a great guy.
Oh, it's great every time, you know. And what a great personality. You know, first of all, you got to have a great personality to do that job week in and week out and be able as people to listen to you on the radio instead of just turn you off every time they hear you like they do me. But, you know, it's a great dude. He's a great dude.
Like they did when I called in last week.
Yeah.
All right, we need to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk about power rankings.
Well, if the power rankings would have made sense, they would not have, but, you know.
Whatever. We're all in.
Picks to win.
We'll be back faster than a Jimmy Johnson pit stop. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hawassi Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. This is the fastest hour in NASCAR. Buckle up and hang on. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hawassi Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
Live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios, it's Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hawassi Chase Air Systems, 101.3 The Buzz. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb. We stayed in the 80s all day, music-wise.
That was
80s in the music, 90s outside.
Yeah, that was specifically in tribute to Alex Hayden.
Hey, I think he's picked him up a fan, Jason. I'm starting to think Webb. Hey, listen, getting on you should have seen the
Jam Periscope I saw.
Hayden
one
groupie.
Night.
Yeah, he's a groupie now. That's right.
You're talking about hammering a keyboard.
He can't do that.
Man was getting after it.
He's a man of many talents.
Super pumped he's on tonight. So I'll have the old MRM app up and running tonight and watching a little truck racing. It's pretty exciting.
All right, so we're going from exciting truck racing on dirt to some
to
long,
boring, long
fest.
When you think of Indianapolis Motor Speedway, you don't think of boring, but, man, put stock cars in there. Yeah, it can get that
right,
way.
Right, the actual the IndyCar races have been outstanding the last 3 or 4
especially
years.
Especially my guy, J.R. Hildebrand.
You're related. That's your cousin.
So, you know, so that stuff, that racetrack has been great for them cars. For those
for them cars, NASCAR.
Them cars, NASCAR. But the NASCAR stock car has struggled mightily. I don't think we've had an exciting race there since we had the tire incident back in 2008 or whatever it was when they were just
blowing them up.
Yeah, where they could do like 6 laps and their tires were exploding.
Well, they're not going to put that agent down, so you won't have to worry about that. But one guy who is pretty excited about going back to Indianapolis is Kyle Busch. They asked him this week. You know, he's got a chance to win 3 in a row, which he's never been done before, and what the biggest challenge at racing at Indy in a stock car is.
This track here is one of the most challenging ones, I'd say. Certainly there's a lot of challenging ones, but Indy being as fast as it is for as flat as it is, it makes it hard for these stock cars to go around here at the speeds that we do. So, you know, going down these straightaways, they're kind of narrow, and getting into the corners, which are kind of narrow, they're one-groove corners, and being able to, you know, really work the draft or the aerodynamics of the cars down the straightaways and being able to get yourself positioned through the corners well enough to make a pass on somebody is a huge task and is a huge ordeal. So, you know, it's not always easy, but, you know, some guys are certainly better at doing that than others, and this place is a tough place to pass at, so you've got to be good in all respects.
And if he's good this week, it'll be a first win for him of the year. Which will be big. You know, the talk now is how many races it's been since Kyle Busch has won, and you never thought you'd really hear that, you know, because he wins a lot of races through the season.
Yeah, I can tell you exactly when the last time he won a race at this track last year.
Right.
So it's been a long time.
Year.
It's been a year. So, you know, it's one of the, I don't know if it's the longest streak of his career. It may be the second longest streak of his career. But really, since he's been an established star in the sport, this is his longest stretch. And it's not that he's running poorly. I mean, you can look at the point standings. He's third in points. I mean, they're finding ways to have great finishes. They're not finding way to get wins. Something happens. You know, last week it was speeding on pit road, not once but twice. You know, they've had lug nut issues. They've had jack issues. They've had, you know, just all sorts of things that kind of have prevented them from getting to victory lane. You would think this would be a great week or a great opportunity for them to get back to victory lane, riding the momentum of Hamlin winning last week.
All right, let's get to power rankings. We got a new sponsor for power rankings. You know what they are? It's Sean Whitfield with Valvoline Racing Radio on Rock 105. Make sure you tune in Rock 105. They sponsor the world-renowned power rankings that we do on 101.3 The Buzz and Racing Talk Radio. Make sure you tune in. All right, let's go to my power rankings. Always the best. I'm going with 42, Kyle Larson. You know, now that the 78's taken the lead, I might change my mind going forward and just do the top 5.
Well, I'm glad that you at least put him in this week.
All right, 42's there. 78's right behind him. The 18 can't take my guy out. My other guy, the 48. And then I'm still on the Jamie McMurray bandwagon. He ran well on Sunday. He was up there. The guy's been consistent. Other than Kyle Larson kind of dominating the talk out of that group, I think quietly Jamie McMurray has done a good job. Jason Hildebrand.
You know what it reminds me of? I'll throw mine in there a second. It eerily reminds me of Ryan Newman just a few years ago, how he just raced his way into the, you know, the chase at that point in time. Nothing flashy, but really consistent just top tens.
Consistently and getting good finishes.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times it's about not having that big mistake and finishing 32nd. And just and turning that day into a 12th place day, that's 20 points. That's a big difference.
He's got a chance, though. But not
so
in my top 5.
Saying I got a chance.
Yeah, but he's not in my top 5.
He's not in my 5 either.
But still, good chance. 78, Martin Truex Jr., I got him in first. I got Kyle Larson second. Kevin Harvick, got him third. Kyle Busch fourth. And Jimmy Johnson fifth.
Thank you for putting both Kyle and Jimmy.
Well, I mean, I think it. As we turn our attention to my power rankings, which are probably the most accurate of the bunch.
It's the second time he's
Yeah, it's the, you know, I really think right now we've kind of seen a separation between a group of drivers and the rest of the field. You know, there was a point in time 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, maybe you could begin to put Brad Keselowski in that conversation of top five. But their struggles have been real the last several weeks. They've really the best Ford has been Blaney, most consistent over the last, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 weeks. So they've really kind of struggled. We're starting to see a rebound from Kevin Harvick. So I've got him in the rankings. But Martin Truex Jr. is at the top. You know, the guy is winning stages, accumulating points consistently week in and week out, giving themselves a chance. Larson is starting to get a little bit of that Jimmy Johnson feel to me, where it feels like maybe they can't ever pass qualifying. Are they pushing the envelope so hard to get every ounce of speed out of that car? Are they doing some things? You know, that used to be the thing with Jimmy Johnson. What's Chad Knaus done to the car to make it go as fast? So I think sometimes we're starting in the back of my mind, I'm starting to get that little thought of, man, this is a team that is pushing the envelope harder than anybody else. But there's a part of me that respects that, too. So I like where they're going. I got Jimmy Johnson in third, Harvick fourth, and Bush, Kyle, in fifth in my power rankings.
Kyle, Bush.
Thought about you when I was in the food line the other day and saw a Snickers bar that had the Rowdy on it. Almost bought it, but it had melted in my car.
I want to tell you something. I meant to say this when you were talking about this earlier, but when Dale Earnhardt Jr. does something stupid, I think about you every time.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm thinking,
it's what friends are for.
Well, you know, at that point, I just walk away. You know, if that happens, I just walk away.
Those were the power rankings brought to you by Valvoline Racing Radio on Rock 105. Make sure you listen Mondays and Thursdays. Mr. Sean Whitfield leads that show. And yes, I just did that, Sean. Thanks for the text. All right, so picks to win. I'm going with the number four, the Busch car of Kevin Harvick to win this weekend.
My pick to win, picked the winner last week correctly for the first time all year. I'm going with Kyle Busch this week.
And he didn't even really say much about that. I mean, me and you come in.
No, I'm not going to toot my own horn. No, big deal. I'm one out of how many? You know, I can't. I mean, big deal. You know,
I mean, what? Yeah, I hear you there. I can't pick winners anymore. But I'm gonna follow your line. I think we get a three-peat, three straight years. I like Rowdy this week in Indy.
But we're really going out on a limb there.
No, I mean, we're really not stretching. More importantly, we got about 30, 40 seconds left in this show. I'm ready to get out of here. It's a little warm in this building, and I want to go home and watch some dirt racing.
Breathing over there.
I'm ready to go watch a little dirt tracking.
I will say, former host of a NASCAR show a couple years ago, Arnold Tarpley, he agrees with the 18 as well. So I think everybody is thinking,
which I'm surprised you, this is the one week you picked against him, but you know, to each his own.
Yeah, well, maybe your pick. Pick against him, he'll get it done. So anyway, great show. Thanks Alex Hayden for coming on. Great information from Eldora. Make sure you tune in tonight, the MRN radio app. You can listen to Alex call the race, and that would be live from Eldora. You can also watch that on Fox FS1. Business.
Is it Fox Business?
Yeah, Fox Business will have it, and I think FS1 as well. And then this Sunday, the Brantley Gilbert Big Machine Brickyard 400 will be on NBC and PRN at 2:30.
And that's hard to put on a poster, that name.
I wonder if Brantley Gilbert will be there. You never know.
Never know.
Yeah, so that'll be good. Or you can tune in to 101.3 The Buzz and listen to it with, I think, PRN and Indianapolis do a joint venture on that. So they always do a good job. Thanks so much for listening to us today. Great show, guys. We'll get together. Well, you guys will get together next week. We'll have Sean Whitfield in the studio as I'll be down on vacation. I promise not to call in and ruin the show. So we'll let Sean take care of it from there, and you guys will do good. So until 2 weeks from now for me, next week for these guys, thanks for listening.
This has been Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hawassi Chase Air Systems. Join Jamie Collins, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand every Wednesday, 5 p.m. right here on 101.3 The Buzz or on your TuneIn app. This has been a production of Whitfield Media Group.